We'll turn together in God's Word to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. We'll take up our reading from the 13th verse. The previous verses at the beginning of the chapter deal with the martyrdom of John the Baptist. And then the Scriptures take us to the Lord Jesus, away from that scene, and to his disciples. We read from verse 13 of Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Beginning of that 13th verse. And what was said already will give clarity to what we read at the beginning of this verse, for references made of the death of John the Baptist. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And the Lord, of course, takes his disciples aside. He has a tremendous care for his disciples, a watchfulness over them. And when he hears of the passing of John the Baptist, he and the disciples, they go apart for a time into a desert place. Obviously, from other Gospels, we learn that it was to rest a while. There is need for that time of setting aside, even from the work, the light of the work that has been done. However, we read in verse 13, "And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, 'Bring them hither to me.' And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. They that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.' And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. We'll end our reading there at the close of the chapter. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of his own word to our heart. We'd ask our brother, Mr. Gordon Emery, if he would come forward now and bring to us the announcements, please. Thank you.
We welcome each and every one who is gathered with us here today to the house of the Lord. We especially welcome those who are visiting with us. See a few visitors in with us, and we trust you will know the voice of the Lord. That is our prayer, that each one gathered here will know the speaking voice of the Lord. We especially welcome our visiting preacher for this morning, the Reverend David Smith. We trust that he will know the Lord's help to deliver the message that the Lord has laid upon his heart for each one of us. Today, in the will of the Lord, the evening service will be at 7 o'clock, preceded by the half hour of prayer. The speaker tonight will be Mr. Sammy Johnson from Tully Vallen. On Tuesday will be the prayer meeting and Bible study at 8 p.m. and Mr. Noel Shields will be speaking at the prayer meeting. For members of the session, on Friday night at 8 p.m. will be our meeting of presbytery. On Saturday at 7:30, the open air is in the lower square, and again Mr. Noel Shields will be the preacher. Next Sabbath day, as usual, the early morning prayer meeting will be at 9 o'clock. Then a special word for those who have children, our Sunday school will recommence. Sunday school and Bible class will recommence next Sunday at 10:30. Do you remember that, please? The service next Sunday morning at 12 noon, the preacher will be Dr. Frank McClelland, and the evening service will be at 7 o'clock. The Reverend Ian Horace will be here, and we'll also have, after that service, our communion service. We will meet around the table of the Lord. Both of those meetings will be preceded by a half hour of prayer. Also next Sabbath day at 8:30 will be the recommencement of our youth fellowship. Could I thank all those who helped yesterday as we tried to raise funds for our school, all those who helped for the burger stall at the Black Saturday. Could also say that the Mercers have received the necessary travel documents for their going to America. So those of us who are praying to that end, the Lord has heard and answered our prayers. Thank you.
I'd like to thank our brother for the warm word of welcome to the pulpit here in Mourne. We thank God for fellowship again. Trust the Lord will draw near as we come around his word afresh today. We're going to turn to another hymn, 423. I must have the Saviour with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me and his arm around me thrown. Hymn number 423. We'll remain seated as the offering for the Lord's work is now being received. We're turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, with God's Word before us. We'll unite in prayer together and seek the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for Thy hand upon the congregation here. We thank the Lord for also answered prayer in relation to our brother Mercer and his family, and for the documents that have now been received. And we pray that Thou would watch over them and bless them. And we pray that as they would soon make their journey to the United States, Thou would be with them, and Thou would guide them in all the way that Thou hast led them. Be with them, we pray. Remember us now as we come to Thy Word. Lord, as we think of this passage and the guidance and the direction that was given to the disciples, Lord, we pray that through it Thou wilt help us, guide and direct us. May we take heart, may we take stock, may we take comfort from Thy truth, may we take even direction for our lives. Give us an understanding of Thy book, Thy word. And Lord, we pray that as we seek Thee day by day in our Christian lives to walk with Thee, Lord, bless Thy people and give us guidance today and help us to behold wondrous things in Thy word. And we pray, Lord, that above all our eye will be guided towards the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Any without Christ, lead them to the Savior today. Keep Your loving hand upon us. Fill me now with Thy Holy Spirit and grant power with which to serve Thee. We ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, and the passage that we have just read together deals with that event called the feeding of the 5,000. The circumstances of it were that the Lord went to a desert place. There in that remote and desert place, Christ, with those few loaves and fishes, fed a multitude, demonstrating His tremendous power. Tremendous in the sense that it showed this is the Son of God. This is no ordinary man. This is the Christ that should come into the world. However, for the disciples, it was a unique experience as well. Not only because they observed Christ and what He was able to do with just a few loaves and few fish, but they were constrained to go across the sea. And it was while they were on that sea again, they saw something more of the Lord Jesus. And I want to just stop there for a moment, because today I want to think especially of the way that we take as God's people. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a word here for you and me in regard to how the Lord leads, how the Lord directs, and how the Lord guides, what the disciples did here on this occasion. It's that thought that I want to leave with you. I trust as we do so, it will help you, as well as me, to understand more of God's direction, God's guidance, God's will, even for our lives. I think as we consider the portion, the first thing that really attracts our attention is this, and it falls in between the two events, if you like, that of the feeding of the 5,000 and then of course their journey across the sea. In verse 22 it says, straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him onto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. What you notice here is a new direction. Now, I didn't know where Brother Mercer was going to be in the service today, so I'm not preaching at him, but I can't help but I think there must be some reason for this message, especially hearing that he has his travel documents. But there's a word for us all here. You will see the disciples were given an entirely new direction here. They were taken away from the scene of the feeding of the 5,000, and they were sent across the sea to do another work. And the word straightway, I think it's very striking. Straightway. Words have a meaning, of course, in the Bible. They're put there for a reason. And this is one of those words to show to us, here's something that happened right away. As soon as that event of the feeding of the 5,000 was over, right away, these disciples were constrained by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that reminds us, does it not, that a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is one who is under direction of the Savior. You and I, we are not our own. We belong to the Lord. The Word of God reminds us that we're not to be as the horse or the mule. It needs, of course, the bit and the bridle to guide it. But we are to those who are to be sensitive to God's leading, to God's guiding. Whether it be in the big events of life or in the small events of life, we're under the supervision and the guidance of the Lord Jesus. I say again, I did not know our brother was in the meeting or would be here, but I was going to draw some lessons from the Word of God of how a minister may be moved in a moment's notice. We think of Philip preaching in the book of Acts. There he was preaching Christ, then he's told, go towards the south. Taken from one place to another. We think of Elisha ploughing. Suddenly Elijah casts his mantle upon him, and he's taken from that field of service into another. But there's not only an application there for ministers of the gospel, that we are to be under the guidance and direction of the Lord Jesus. True of every believer. Every believer. That at a moment's notice, the Lord may send us, as it were, on a new direction. And that's a challenge. I want to make a challenge to young people, especially young men in particular. Perhaps it is the case that the Lord has been speaking to you concerning His work and what He would have you to do. And it may seem to you, well, I have all my life prepared and I am settled in what I'm doing and all things are going to continue down this route. Remember, the Lord may take you from that route and send you another route. And perhaps it is His mind and will that you give your life into His service to become a preacher of the Word. I want you to notice here that just as those disciples straight away were directed by Christ, you may be directed on an entirely new direction. Entirely new direction. I want you to notice also they were directed into difficulty. This was not an easy journey. In fact, the Bible tells us here that in verse 24, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, it is true that oftentimes circumstances can be sent of God to show us our waywardness. You think of Jonah. What was he doing? Well, he was making his way to Tarshish. That's not the place the Lord told him to go. The Lord had told him to go to Nineveh. And the Lord sent a wind, you remember. And as it were, the wind was contrary to him, to show to him his waywardness. Isn't it interesting how all that time Jonah was down in the belly of the ship asleep? Some believers know how to sleep through the storms that God sends them. Is that where you are as a child of God? Asleep all around you, God, as it were, howling against you, but you're still asleep. You should take note of the circumstances that God sends into your life. Not to be ruled and governed by them. But if we're out of God's will, and out of step with the Lord, and the Lord is sending circumstances against us, it's a good idea, it's a good thing to take note. But this was not one of those times. These disciples were constrained by Christ to get into the ship and to go to the other side. The will of Christ was clear for them. They had His word ringing in their ears. This was the mind of the Lord. And that wind that was contrary to them was not therefore something to take any note of. It was rather something to be overcome. The Bible reminds us that these disciples, they were those that continued. They were toiling and rowing, as it were. You know, the work of God sometimes is like that. The Lord sends us on His way, but it is into the path of difficulty. And when such path comes, that is not the time to give up. And that is not the time to be overcome by difficulty. That is the time to prove the Lord. Paul the Apostle, writing in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 5, he spoke of the sufferings of Christ abounding in Him. And you will know from reading of the New Testament, the life of the Apostle Paul, the difficulties that he endured and experienced. But he says, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation aboundeth by Christ. What do you mean by that? He meant this, that in the midst of all of those storms, He had the consolation of Christ Himself. He was in the very will of the Saviour. That's a tremendous thing. Are you going through the path of difficulty today? It seems as though you're toiling and rowing. Well, if the Lord has put you on this path, then this is the time to prove the Lord. This is the time to learn that God's grace is sufficient in the midst of the difficulty. You'll notice a time of darkness as well. If you read the Gospels, you will discover that this was the fourth watch of the night, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ eventually made Himself known to His disciples on that ship. And that reminds us, does it not, that the Lord may allow the path of difficulty and even darkness to go on for some time. You will know that there were four watches in the night. Well, this was the fourth. If you consider the Gospels together, you can read them in your own time. The Lord permitted these disciples to continue on in this contrary wind for some time. Could I just add a wee word here about the darkness that the Lord allows His people to enter into? God's people should remember, of course, that there is a great light. It is the light of the gospel. Every day we should seek to rejoice in that light. The Bible says in John 8 and 12, He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, because Christ is the light of life. Never lose, child of God, the joy of your salvation. Never lose sight of Christ. Never lose sight of what you are in Christ Jesus. You're a child of God. That is something that never changes. But there are times in the Christian life whenever there are occasions of great darkness regarding uncertainty over what's taking place, over what may about to take place. Darkness over our circumstances. What must we do in those times? We must continue. we must continue. Some people get very upset whenever difficulties and darkness arises, and it seems to go on and seems to go on, and they do not understand. Well, the little word that Paul gave to Timothy, he said to Timothy, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned. And the best thing to do whenever you're in the time of darkness is just to continue on with the light that the Lord has given to you. Continue on. Don't allow the darkness to stop you. Don't allow the difficulty to put a halt in your path. Continue on. This new direction brought them into the path of difficulty, even into the path of darkness for a time. The disciples, however, here continued in their journey. May the Lord help us in our Christian lives to continue on with the Lord. I want you to notice, however, that while the Lord sent his disciples on his journey, the Lord had work to do. It says here in verse 22, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. I'm sure the disciples wondered why the Lord would not get into the ship with them. But I want you to notice the Lord had a work to do. And that was why they were sent off on their journey. A practical work. If you think of those people, those thousands that were fed with the loaves and the fishes, and there's a word here for perhaps some in this meeting. If you think of those thousands fed with the loaves and the fishes, there's a tendency for man to be content with material things. The Lord Jesus expressed that in John 6. And there we are reminded that whenever he addressed that crowd in John 6 that followed him because of the loaves and the fishes, he reminded them that that's all that they were interested in. In John 6, verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. And the Lord advised them, labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And the Lord sent those disciples away because the longer they stayed, then the more encouragement that would give to those multitudes to remain. So he sent them away and then he dismissed the multitude. Because it would have been very easy for them just to get tied up with the loaves and the fishes, the material things. And he now must send them away. Can I speak to perhaps someone in this meeting? Not saved. You may answer the question for yourself. It's a good thing that you're in the house of God today. It's a good thing that you're amongst God's people. I don't think there's a better place that you could be. But let me ask you a question. Why are you here? Why are you here? Is it because of some identity that you have with the church here? Is it because you've got some connection? Let me express something to you as strongly as I can. While you may feel some connection, the greatest need that you have is not meeting some need in yourself from a physical standpoint, by way of acquaintance with a church or an identity here with this church. The greatest need that you have is your soul. And it's need of Jesus Christ. And therefore you must be warned. You must be warned against coming to the house of God merely to get some identity, some connection. What you need in your heart is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need your soul saved. You need your heart made right with God. You need to become a child of God. No connection. That is a physical connection. No feeling of identity with this church will ever meet the need of your soul. In that sense, we say to you, labor not for the meat that perisheth. Make sure that you have in your heart Christ the Savior. That you have that meat that endures unto everlasting life. I think there's a lesson here for the church as well. It would have been so easy for the church, that is, the disciples there that day, to get caught up with the event of the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, and to see that great material need met. It had been so easy to stay there in that environment. The Lord Jesus Christ says, no, you go to the other side. There's a work that is to be yet done. And in the light of what I've just said, given the fact that the multitudes were so easily satisfied with mere loaves and fishes and not the spiritual meat, it was important for the disciples to understand that. And understand that they were not to remain here. And it's very easy for the church to get caught up with material things. That's something we must guard in the work of God. Very easy to get caught up with events, even with experiences in the past, and to tie ourselves to them in such a way that we cannot go on to do the work of God. Let us take care. And I particularly think of churches nowadays that get caught up with events that they organize, and they get people together, and they fail to appreciate that the most important part of church life is to minister the gospel and to minister the word of God. You see, it is the spiritual things. They're the most important. And disciples at least were in some way being instructed in this. And child of God, in your labors for the Lord Jesus Christ, remember this. It is the spiritual things that are most important. For they are the things that meet the need of the hearts of men and women. I was reading just while I was away a work on a man called Peter Crosby, I think is the name, the way the name would be pronounced, but he was superintendent in the Tent Hall in Glasgow in the earlier part of the 1900s. And a reporter came to him. They had a lot of work going on. They would feed poor children, they would have breakfast and things like that there, but because of the poverty of those days and the drunkenness and the great needs that were all around the city of Glasgow, those things had their place. But this reporter came to see the work, and I think he must have mentioned something to him. In those days they might have had what they called Burns Nights, where poetry would be recited, and he said, no, they want that kind of thing. The world's far better employed to give that kind of thing to people than us. We cannot compete. And he said this. He said, what we bring to the hearts of the people is this: Christ and Him crucified. That's our message. That's our message. Men and women in Christ and our labours in the work of God, let us realise that's the heart of our work. The heart of our work. I think too, when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ in this event and we see Him in His labour, realize that one of the things He was also doing, as you read the Gospels, He was praying. In fact, it was while He was praying that He looked out and saw the disciples as they were rowing, as the wind was contrary to him, to them. If you look at verse 23, it says, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, Evening was come. He was there alone. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great example in all things. And no matter what part of the work of God it is, Christ is your example and mine, child of God. And here he is at prayer alone, seeking the face of his Father. Child of God, have we spent time alone with God? As we have contemplated the work of God, I'm sure we have had many thoughts, and we think of how it should be done. And I'm sure we have all a thought as to how the work of God should be progressed. Sometimes we're very quick to give our opinion on such things, but have we ever got before God alone? Alone. The Saviour is our great example. Another thought here in relation to Christ praying. All the time those disciples were facing that contrary wind, all through those watches of the night, Christ was praying. There's a little hymn, I love it. It says, Jesus knows all about our struggles. It doesn't matter what contrary experience you go through in the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. However dark, however great our struggle, however great our trial, Christ maintains his prayers, his intercession, his watchful care over us. When Peter didn't know the danger that awaited him, but thought himself brave, the Lord Jesus Christ said that he would deny the Lord, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Even when Peter didn't know the danger into which he was going, Christ had prayed for him. That's our Saviour. In all our work, Christ has a greater labour. He prays, intercedes for you and I. The disciples' experience here is to be noted in closing. What did they experience in this scene? I think what we can say, first of all, is they experienced a fresh view of Christ. They had noted the Saviour who had the power to feed the multitudes. But now, if you look at this passage in verse 33, when Christ came and he calmed the storm, it says, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Before, of course, they were amazed. Now they worship. They have a fresh view of Christ. They saw the Lord, if you like, with different eyes. In a new circumstance. You know, that's a wonderful thing about the leading and the guiding of God. We often think, well, I wish things would just stay the same as they are. Well, you would never know what the Lord can do. I remember whenever I was in Tavistock, at a little bookstall, and there was a lady beside me. She sold pottery in the marketplace in Tavistock. Well, the trade wasn't great for anybody. Certainly not for Christian books, but this lady started to complain to me, and there was no trade at all. She hadn't sold anything, and she said some word of complaint in my ear, and I said, well, if you were never down, you would never know what it would be to be up. She started to laugh. She thought this was quite humorous, and it lifted her spirit. But you know, if you were never through the trial, if you were never through the path of difficulty and darkness as a child of God, would you be ever really able to speak of the Lord's sustaining grace? Oh, you could talk about it, but it wouldn't be by experience, would it? It is through experience, child of God, that we learn the keeping power of Christ. We learn of who He is. We learn of His sustaining grace. We learn of His comfort. We learn of the power of His Word. We learn something of the strength of that grace He is able to bring to our hearts. We learn to assurance, for it is in the path of difficulty we become more assured of what Christ has wrought for our soul. How would you know the Lord and His promise, "Thou shalt not be burned when thou pass through the fire," except you were going through the fire? You see, the disciples learned by experience, and they had a fresh view of Christ in that experience. I think too we could say Peter stepped out in faith as he never stepped out before. Isn't that interesting? Now I know Peter is oftentimes condemned because he stepped out, and then of course he looked at the waves and his faith sank, and he sank. But the fact is, he did something that the other disciples didn't do. They didn't step out of the boat. They didn't step out onto the water. They didn't know what it was to be sustained by the power of Christ upon those boisterous waves. At least momentarily, Peter experienced that and experienced what it was to have the Lord sustain him in the midst of that. So Peter stepped out in faith as he had never stepped out in faith before. Isn't that true of us as a child of God? That's something we learn in the path of experience. We learn how to exercise faith as never before in the time of difficulty. And what an experience it was, because there was another time when Peter had to step out. Peter, remember, was to be one of the leading apostles. The day would come when he would have to stand before multitudes. He found again, by experience and his own strength, he couldn't stand before a maid and witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes believers say, "Oh, I could never witness for the Lord Jesus Christ." Peter thought he could. Peter thought he could die for Christ. And yet when he was put to the test, he found he couldn't, and he denied the Lord with oaths and curses. But I'm sure something of that experience of the water taught him this, that he could step out in faith and depend upon Christ, and the Lord would sustain him. And a day came when Peter stood before the thousands in Jerusalem to witness for the Lord Jesus. Did not that experience of stepping out in faith upon that water at least teach him this, that he could do anything for the Lord if the Lord sustained him? And what a day it was when he preached that great sermon in Acts and the thousands were converted. Was that not a great day of Peter stepping out in faith, witnessing for his Saviour? Do you fear to witness for Christ? Do you fear to stand for the Lord Jesus? You need to put your faith in the Lord and depend upon Him and depend upon His grace and strength. Disciples learn something more. Learn that all their toiling and all their rowing was nothing. You see, really, they were getting nowhere. It says the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. The wind was contrary. Read the other Gospels. You'll find it was not until the Lord Jesus Christ got onto those waves, cried, "Peace be still," they reached their destination. All their toiling and all their rowing, that was nothing. But Christ with them was everything. Oh, the church would learn that great lesson. Oh, that we would learn in our Christian life that with Christ, nothing is impossible. Then what would be accomplished for the Lord Jesus? What would be done when the churches realize all our toiling, all our rowing, it's nothing if the Lord is not with us. It is the blessing of God. That is what sustains. That is what gives grace. That is what strengthens the church. When we think of the needs that lie out in our districts and towns and our problems here and beyond, and we think of how that need is ever going to be met, and we think of all our toiling and all our rowing, and it is right that we continue to toil, right that we continue, as it were, to row in the work of God. But we must remember something. Without Christ, we are able to do nothing. It is by His power the work of God is sustained. It is by Him and through Him that we are sustained in our Christian life. May the Lord help us to go on with Him. If the Lord today has spoken to you, spoken to your heart, young man, about the things of God and about the challenge of God's work, the need of Christian service, and a new direction has opened out for you, step out with Christ. No matter what the difficulty is, step out with the Saviour. You will find He is able to reach His hand out to watch over you, to care for you, to bring you safe through every journey He sends you on. If you're not saved, then we ask you to remember there is a Saviour in the journey of life that you must have. Make sure you know Him. Make sure you know Him. You come to know Him today. Forsake your sin. Don't labor for the meat that perishes. You come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Get right with Him today. May God bless His truth and His word to each of our hearts. We're going to turn to hymn 361. 361. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth, fuller every day, perfect yet it groweth, deeper all the way. I will sing all the verses, please. 361, standing as we do so.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy care. We thank Thee for the prayers of our dear Saviour. We thank Thee, Lord, for that watchfulness over the lives of His people. Lord, help us to see by faith that praying Saviour, that Saviour able to come into our midst, able to fulfil every need that we have in Thy cause and in Thy work. We commit our way unto Thee. Remember each one. We think of those without Christ. Lord, as Peter cried out, Lord, save me, may they cry out those words in a different sense. In the sense of salvation, may they know what it is to feel the hand of Christ upon them, saving their soul. May they come to know Thee. Bless Thy people. Bring each one to our home in safety and watch over us. And we pray that the blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will rest, remain, and abide upon each. In Christ's great name we pray. Amen.